What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. I'll be your host, and as we continue to grow, I'll have friends joining me each week to interview some of the leading experts in the fields of motivational speaking, mental health, ministry, and even sports. Our goal is to instill hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today, and our prayer is that after each episode, you'd be more equipped and encouraged to look, love, and live more like Christ from the inside out. That's our definition of what it means to be built different. So I hope you're ready. You better buckle up. Let's roll. What's going on, everybody? And welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. I'll be your host, Zach Clinton. And let me start out by saying I hope and pray you and yours had a blessed Holy Week, Easter, and Resurrection Sunday. And I hope you guys didn't eat too many chocolate Easter bunnies now. But more importantly, I hope you all took some time to truly reflect on, observe, and celebrate all that Christ has done for us. My friends, as we talked about in last week's conversation, because that tomb is empty, anything is possible. I pray that you wouldn't just know that, but more importantly, that you would actually believe that truth today. That being said, you guys, I'm so excited as we have another impactful conversation lined up for you guys today. You guys all know my heart and my passion for walking alongside of the broken and hurting. It's what I do, and it's what we train others to do here at the American Association of Christian Counselors. So today's conversation is going to be geared toward that lane, especially touching on the sensitive but imperative topic of how we can more effectively and efficiently help and serve those who are struggling with thoughts of suicide. Joining us today is another guy who has incredible heart for this topic, as he has been deeply affected by the impact of suicide in his own personal life. He's an author, preacher, Christian content creator, and the founder of a mental health organization called Stay Here. Joining us today is Jacob Coyne. But before we dive into today's conversation, I wanted to remind all of you of our premier sponsor for the podcast, which is our parent company and association. I've already mentioned the name of it. It's called the American Association of Christian Counselors. Here at AACC, we're committed to assisting Christian counselors, the entire community of care, licensed professionals, pastors, and lay church members with little or no formal training. Our vision here at AACC really revolves around two critical dimensions. First, we seek to serve the Christian church worldwide by helping it become more mature in Christ while taking on God's heart of love and sacrificial care. And secondly, we seek to serve, educate, and equip professionals in the mental health field through continuing education opportunities, such as our world and national conferences, live webinars, other training events, and our printed education and training materials. We're committed to helping the church equip God's people to love and care for each other in the same spirit that Christ loves and cares for us. To find out more about all that we're doing here at the AACC, or to check out the countless resources, courses, and certification-based programs we have to offer in biblical counseling, suicide prevention, life coaching, and so much more, please visit our website at aacc.net. Again, that's aacc.net. That being said, you guys, again, our conversation today on the topic of suicide may be a little sensitive for some, but you guys, these are conversations that we need to be having more often, as our guest wants us to use these conversations to infuse life into the dark corners of mental health. Giving hurting souls a reason to live, Jacob shows not only how Jesus brings life to the full, but also how anyone, regardless of their past or pain, can find healing, including how to attack our anxiety and calm our storms, defeat depression and live with a sound mind, overcome intrusive suicidal thoughts and enjoy life, and transform your pain, trauma, suicidal thoughts, and addictions into purpose. Remember, it's okay to not be okay, but you don't have to stay that way. It's time to shine the hope of Christ into the darkness and witness his love transform broken souls into living, breathing signs to live. So with that being said, help me welcome our very special guest today, Jacob Coyne. Jacob, thank you so much for joining us, my friend.
Thank you, Zach. I'm glad to finally meet you and be here today.
Absolutely, brother. As we get started, I honestly just want to dive right in because I believe today's topic is something that both of us are incredibly passionate about. I've been grateful to the Lord that I've had the opportunity of working in this mental health space, really soul care space, for the last several years and really grew up in it my entire life. And one thing I've learned is that mental health does not discriminate. No one's a stranger to the inevitable challenges that we all face in this life. That being said, though, Jacob, I've read quite a bit about your own personal testimony and some of the struggles you faced in your early years, as well as some of the losses you've endured throughout life. I'd love for you to acquaint our listeners with a better understanding just where this heart for mental health care and suicide prevention really comes from for you personally.
Yeah, it hit me really hard over the last couple of years. It really started with losing my uncle Greg Sweet to suicide in 2015. Mm. That was heartbreaking for me and my entire family because Greg and my dad led me to Jesus. Yeah. I was a crazy rebellious teenager, and my dad and my uncle Greg went to this men's Bible study, and they were so different. After just one time going to this Bible study, they got so set free. They got filled with the Holy Spirit and just started following Jesus with all their hearts. Wow. But as Greg started to follow Jesus, he also started to get worse and worse with Parkinson's disease. And then it got to a point where he just wasn't the same person. His brain, everything about him was just not the same. So he ended up taking his life 6 years into battling Parkinson's disease. And it was just heartbreaking for our family, our church, our community. He was he was well known around the world too for being such a great entrepreneur, with kettle corn business and stuff. He was just a larger than life kind of guy. And to lose someone like that to suicide, it just shatters you. Greg wasn't the only person. When I was a teacher at a Christian private school, there were students even in the Christian private school that were battling with self-harm and suicidal ideation. And then I personally lost a stepbrother to a drug overdose. Mm. And my wife and I have dealt with miscarriages. So it just feels like we've been so surrounded with grief and loss. And I got to a place where I'm like, man, I need help now. Mm. And that's what got us to really want to start Stay Here, was the fact that as a Christian, as a pastor, as a communicator of the gospel, I began to feel shame around wanting to get help. Mm. And then when I finally wanted to get help, it was so difficult to actually find the right avenue of help for me, to find a good therapist, a good Christian counselor. Man, it was difficult. So, you know, I realized there's probably millions of people all around the world dealing with this. And then finally, the last straw for us was I lost a friend of mine. You probably know Zach, named Jared Wilson.
Yeah,
he was a pastor, and he took his life on September 10th. 2019 now. Mm. And that was it for me. I'm like, if pastors are taking their lives, it's time to do something. Mm-hmm. So I just started doing as much research as I could, and I began to understand that suicide is completely preventable. We're just not talking about it enough. Mm. So really, I started Stay Here out of a place of pain, and now it's become our family's purpose.
Wow.
And man, over the last 4 years of doing this, we've been able to save so many lives. So I'm so grateful that I didn't run from the pain. I didn't avoid the pain. I just dove right into it.
Yes.
And God's really helped me find purpose and bring purpose to thousands of people all across the world now.
Amen, brother. It's amazing that we get the opportunity of serving a God who can repurpose our pain and turn it into something good. I appreciate just your vulnerability and sharing your testimony. I can hear it in your voice, how much this matters to you, how much you care about other people. And man, that really kind of pulls at my heartstrings, because I'm with you there, man. We align on a lot of these areas, and we believe that really this is soul care work that we get the opportunity of doing. You recently authored a book called Stay Here, Uncovering God's Plan to Restore Your Mental Health, where you note that every 40 seconds, someone takes his or her own life. Anxiety, depression, suicide are at all-time highs. They're stealing our sons, daughters, friends, and spouses. What we say here at AACC is that we've really transitioned from a mental health crisis into what we could now define as a mental health disaster. Recently, CDC reported 57% of our girls have reported showing symptoms of depression. 30% of our girls, our daughters, Jacob, are seriously considering suicide. Suicide has become the second leading cause of death for adolescents and young adults. My friend, this is some heartbreaking stuff, but this is very real. Jacob, why do you think, or what are some catalysts really that have kind of enhanced all of our mental health challenges during the last several years, but ultimately led people to believe that this world would be better off without them?
Yeah, I think, you know, my opinion first and foremost is social media.
Yeah.
Gen Z is spending on average about 8 hours a day watching video content.
Wow.
And, you know, we're even seeing not just those statistics, but I just read a statistic that 33% of Gen Z now identifies as LGBTQ.
Wow.
And I'm a millennial. In our generation, I think it was like less than 3%.
Yeah.
So that's a massive shift. And I know that that's just because of social media and the media that we're watching. Mm-hmm. It's just everywhere. It's on TikTok. It's on Instagram. It's on Snapchat. It's on the television, the music videos that we're watching. Mm. There are so many ideas. I mean, you log on to TikTok and some of the biggest content creators on TikTok have told their followers that they're about to take their life and they end up doing it. This has happened multiple times since 2020. Mm. And, you know, we see a ripple effect when one person does it, then multiple people do it.
Yep.
When I was a teacher, there was a student who took his life at one of the local schools and then three more did it that year. Mm. So four suicides in 1 year because it started with one student and the others that took their lives were close to that one student. Think about the effect now with social media. I mean, if one person does it that's well known and it's amplified and then they start to receive love and praise and adoration, you look at the comments and it says, fly high, brother. Mm. Proud of you. You did what you needed to do. You know, we don't shame you for it. I think a lot of people think, well, I'm going to receive that same praise and adoration too that I'm not receiving right now. And it's such a sick and twisted thing.
Yeah.
You know, what happens to our minds with social media. So I think that's number one. And I think number two, it's the lack of purpose. What am I doing here on this planet? What am I alive for? Mm. Who am I serving? I think if we don't have a strong sense of our purpose, why God put us on this planet and what we're supposed to do with our life, it's so difficult to continue to keep living. It's something that Viktor Frankl talked about when he was surviving the Holocaust. He knew that if he continues to remember his purpose, why he's here, who he is, before he had no hair, before they shaved his head, they put a number on him. No, he has a name. He has a purpose. He's a doctor.
Yeah.
He has so many people to continue to serve. He has a family to find. And I think that purpose is what drove him to survive. He believed that that's the reason why so many people end up ending their lives is because they're purposeless.
Mm.
So, you know, I think that those are some of the two biggest factors that I personally see is if you make one mistake, people are just like, well, why shouldn't I just end it all? Because I have nothing to live for anyways. So we've got to do better as believers. Number one, If Gen Z, if people are on social media, we need to get Christian content where they're at. And then we need to encourage people to find community, to get off their phones and get into community, because that's where you find your purpose. So those are a couple of my opinions.
Amen, brother. I love what you're saying, especially with the technology and different things. We see it all the time in the Gen Z. Just the generational piece of we're the most digitally connected generation, the most relationally disconnected generation. And like you said, why I love the content that you're pushing out is because it is so hope-filled and hope-focused. And that's what kids need. If they're going to be watching and scrolling aimlessly on Instagram, make it be purposeful content. And that's what you do, brother. So I appreciate you doing that. That being said, I've heard it. So there are lots of people that are suicidal. It isn't that they hate life, Jacob. It's that they hate life the way that it is, right? They've come to this point of brokenness where it seems so difficult or at times impossible to see an opportunity for change or a brighter tomorrow. You see, suicide can often be in response to a very crisis-like situation. People act out of impulsivity, or it can be a long, drawn-out process of rumination, which is the inability to turn one's mind off, where people are consistently focusing and dwelling on the negative internal beliefs they formed over time about themselves. But regardless, the heartbreaking reality and commonality is that some people get to this point where they actually believe the world would be better off without them. And the truth is that there's probably no issue that brings more fear or alarm to a parent, and I'll even add counselors and pastors, than the issue of suicide, because not only is it a delicate topic, but I think too many people believe the old myth that if you bring this topic of suicide to someone's attention, then you'll somehow create this mindset or instill the idea of suicide within that individual. But that's the furthest thing from the truth. Jacob, speak to the importance for a moment on why it's necessary to have these types of conversations and really how relieving it can actually be for those struggling with suicidal ideation to be seen, heard, and loved through these meaningful and imperative talks.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's just start with statistics. The CDC states that 4 out of 5 people if you talk to them about this topic, if they are battling with suicidal thoughts or ideation, if you bring up the topic of suicide, it actually helps them, and they're going to open up to you and confess that that's something that they're dealing with. Mm. And then those four people are going to actually, out of five people, are going to want to get help and allow you to help them get help. That's huge.
Yeah, that's huge.
Right then and there. That's huge. And then, you know, for me, this is the biggest part about our ministry with Stay Here, is we want to create safe spaces,
yes,
for people to open up about dealing with suicidal thoughts. There's so much shame about dealing with suicidal thoughts, but it starts with temptation. Mm. You know, it doesn't come from God. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Yes. So, number one, I think we need to just remove that shame. Mm. There are crazy thoughts that so many amazing leaders think. I mean, even in the Bible, Elijah is battling with suicidal thoughts. Job is wishing that he was miscarried. These are thoughts that are circulating so many incredible people. But when we confess them and bring them to the surface, that's when we heal. You can't heal from things that you hide. And it's really heavy for me. Like, the conviction of this comes from not just the stats, not just the Bible verses, but personally, I had multiple dreams about my friend Jared before he took his life. Mm. And in these dreams, he was drowning. He was drowning while he was acting normal, though.
Yeah.
He was drowning while we were just walking on a beach, and there was a big bubble of water circulating around his face, and he's just drinking this water in while he's talking. Mm. And I noticed that he's drowning. And in the dream, I just say, "Jared, you're drowning. I need to help you." And he's like, "No, it's fine. Let me pray for you. Let me help you. How can I serve you today, Jacob?" And man, it just breaks my heart, because at that time, I didn't know better. I was afraid to actually reach out to him and tell him about the dream, or just ask him a hard question like that, because I believe the myth that if I asked this person, "Hey, are you drowning? Are you struggling with anxiety? Are you struggling with depression? Are you battling suicidal thoughts?" I thought it's going to make the drowning worse. Mm-hmm. It's going to push him over the edge, and maybe he is going to fall into a deeper anxiety. Maybe I'm going to hurt his feelings, and maybe I'm going to press a button. Maybe I'm going to put a suicidal thought in his mind. I don't want to be responsible for that. Mm. But that's a myth. It's a lie.
That's right.
The furthest thing from the truth. If you bring up this topic, it allows people to confess the truth. And when it's brought to the light, that's when God can come in, and that's when help can come in.
Yes.
That's when, you know, when we know more about somebody, we can better serve them. Mm. Even in my personal life, there's been so many times where I've been afraid to tell the truth about how I'm really doing, because I'm known as a happy person. I'm known as a leader.
Yeah.
But man, every time that I've opened up to people, every time I've opened up to groups of people, hey, I'm actually not doing okay, guys. Mm. I need prayer. I need help. It doesn't just help me, but it helps the whole group.
Yes.
It helps everyone else in the room. There's been times where people were so shocked that I opened up that their whole rest of, like, this small group that I was in, it was all just confession. Mm. Of how people are really doing. And so much healing took place because I started it.
Yes.
And it was so, my heart's pounding, my heart's beating. I'm so afraid to tell that I'm not okay, that I'm sad. Mm. Isn't it crazy how we're so afraid to confess things like that?
Yes.
But man, it's always been good. I've never had a bad experience telling the truth.
I tell you what, Jacob, what's fascinating is that we live in a culture and society that equates brokenness with embarrassment and humiliation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the shame that so many of us feel. It's embarrassing, right? We all know the quote, "It's okay to not be okay," but it's so hard for us to actually grasp and actually believe in our own personal lives. But I believe that when we do that, right, that there is strength in vulnerability. There's strength in community. There's strength in numbers, right? When we bring people inside of our pain and we allow them to walk alongside of us through it, that's when I think good things can begin to happen. I'm interested, Jacob, because you're a dad of four girls, four daughters. There's a lot of parents who are going to be listening to this radio program today that maybe love what we're talking about. Although it's sensitive, they know it's imperative, but maybe they're starting to recognize some signs and symptoms of some mental health challenges within their kids. What's some just sage wisdom and advice you offer them about attuning themselves and becoming more aware to those challenges in their kids' lives?
Yeah. Man, I can just kind of give some bullet points of what we do as a family that's worked.
Would love that.
That helps. I mean, there's been times where our kids have battled with things. I mean, we've got an 8-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and then a 4-month-old. But you know, the 8-year-old and the 4-year-old, they've dealt with anxiety. They've dealt with some mental health issues. They've gone through 2020. You know, what's going on? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to wear these masks? What's going on, mom and dad? And they've dealt with loss. So how do we overcome that? Well, one thing that my wife and I do very intentionally is we make sure that we have at least one meal a day together as a family. So that's for us, that's dinner. I mean, we're always at the table and we talk with our kids about their day. We talk about the highs, the lows. What was the biggest challenge you overcame? And then on Monday nights, my wife and I pray for our kids. That's what we do on Monday nights together. We after we tuck all the kids in bed, we go downstairs and one by one, we pray specific prayers over our kids. And I'm telling you, even just last week, we saw such a breakthrough in our 4-year-old. We've just been praying that she would have her own personal encounter and relationship with Jesus and find peace in Jesus. And we're getting ready for bed and she just says, God, she just says it out loud downstairs. She says, God, I want your glory to fill this room.
Wow.
So we just start praying. I'm like, well, let's pray. Let's ask God to come and fill this room. And about 20 minutes in, she's just lying on her back, just like, God, just touch me. Just touch me, Lord. And I put my hand on her head. I just said, God, would you just touch lively right now? And she just starts crying and laughing. And she opens up her eyes and she says, guys, I feel so good. I feel so good. And all of us just start crying so hard in the room. It was just the most holy and beautiful thing. And that was like just we prayed on Monday. And then on Wednesday night, this is what God does in our living room. So, you know, parents out there, pray for your kids. When they're in bed, put your hand on their door and just pray over their room. Pray that God would touch them when they're alone, that God would touch them in the morning and at night, that God would minister to them personally. You know, God is also their father.
Yes.
God is also their parent, and he's a good one. And he can help carry the weight that we carry. I know it's burdensome. I know it's hard. We worry about our children. But God is such a good father, and he's so able to complete the work that he started in our kids. And then also, you know, our rule for our house is going to be no social media for a long time.
Yeah.
And we're very careful about the media that we let our kids watch because our minds are sponges, you know? And I think that so many ideas can just get planted into our kids' minds because of the things they see on their screens. I know we already talked about that before, but that's a huge thing in our house. And those things have really helped our kids. And then lastly, man, get your kids in good community.
Yes.
My kids love our church so much. And I know that so much of our children's growth, personal growth and peace and just internal peace comes from what they experience in our church. It comes from the kids' ministry. And I'm so grateful for our local church and what they do in our kids. It's just been incredible.
Man, dude, I love those really four simplistic, practical things that parents listening today can begin incorporating in their kids' lives. Number one, there's power in your presence. Number two, there's power in prayer. Number three, be weary of the platforms your kids are on. Number four, surround your kids with the right people, right? Mm-hmm. So four P's. I love that, man. Now, one I want to also ask is there may be somebody listening, Jacob, that is just going through a difficult season in life where they're just discouraged, man, and they feel defeated. They feel like this world would be better off without them. But in your book, but also in your ministry, Stay Here, you really help people find healing by including some practical tips and strategies about how they can attack their anxiety and calm their storms. how they can defeat depression and live with a sound mind, how they can overcome intrusive suicidal thoughts and enjoy life, and how they can transform pain, trauma, suicidal thoughts, and addictions into purpose. Jacob, if you could just offer us just some strategies that you've seen work in your own personal life, but also strategies that you've seen countless individuals that you've walked alongside of throughout their lives, what are some of those that you'd offer us today?
Yeah, honestly, it's more simple than we might think it is. I think it's just finding the courage to tell your loved ones that you need help. Mm. That's what worked for me. After my wife had a really tough miscarriage a couple of years ago, I was scheduled to lead a miscarriage memorial for at our local church. And I remember the night before, I'm having an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
And I just was at the kitchen table and I'm crying to my wife and I said, I'm not healed yet. I can't do this. I can't lead this memorial and I think I'm going to lose my job. They're probably going to fire me tomorrow because I'm not going to show up and I'm so embarrassed. And I just remember texting the staff and I said, I can't make it. I'm not going to officiate this memorial to all these moms and dads because I need to be at the memorial. I need prayer. I need help. Mm. And I'm not even ready to go to a memorial like that. I'm still just so hurt from this loss. And I think it was that moment where I just realized I need more people to help me. I can't just do this on my own. I need to find counseling.
Yes.
I need to just be honest. Because I'm about to break.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. I have a legacy that I want to build. I have a family that I want to be a good father. I want to be a great husband. I want to be an outstanding man of God. Mm. I want to finish strong. And I know I'm checking my vitals here. If I don't get help right now, I'm not going to do any of those things well.
Mm.
I'm not going to be able to finish the race that I started with Jesus well if I don't get healed right now. So I checked into therapy, and gosh, man, I remember walking into that office, my heart's just pounding. I'm so embarrassed. Mm. I can't, like, it's just crazy looking back years ago, like how my mindset was about mental health. I sit down, I start crying. And the therapist is like, wow, you're so ready for this. This is awesome. Mm. I said, no, I'm crying because I'm sitting on this chair right now. I shouldn't be here. And I can't believe that I'm this broken. And she's like, man, how do you view God?
Mm.
God comes to the weak.
Yeah.
There's strength for the weak.
Mm.
This is the gospel of Jesus. You're in the right place right now. You're going to meet Jesus in a way that you've never met him before.
Mm.
And you're going to see that Jesus is the one who weeps with those who weeps. He mourns with those who mourns. He's able to carry your grief and your sorrow. He was a man of many sorrows, the Bible says. Man, I'm so grateful for that counselor that we had. Wow. She helped my wife and I get through so much stuff that we were dealing with, the miscarriage. Our church was going through all sorts of crazy stuff also at the time. And then I lost my stepbrother to a drug overdose. It was all in 1 month, all in 30 days, all that happened.
Wow.
And man, if I didn't allow other people to come into this thing, you know, if I didn't allow people to come into this pain, I wouldn't have gotten through the pain. If I didn't allow God into the pain, I wouldn't have gotten through the pain. So for those listening, you've got to bring God into it.
Yes.
You've got to bring people into it, and then you will get through it. You know, if God's not in it, if you're not allowing God to see the deepest caverns in your soul and your loved ones, your spouse, your parents, if you're a young person, your pastor, your counselor, find a counselor, find a great pastor that can talk with you and pray with you about this. You just aren't going to get through this alone. We're not meant to do life alone. Mm. We're meant to do life in community. So for those listening, find those people, reach out for help. That's what got me through it. Man, I just know, Zach, like the biggest times in my life where I've experienced breakthrough, it's always when I'm sitting down with somebody else and the Lord is in the room. And I'm just saying, hey, this is what happened to me. This is the pain that I've been hiding. This is the deep pain that I don't want to tell anybody because I don't know if people can handle it. And
that's,
you know,
right.
What's crazy is like every time I tell people, I cry and I tell people what I've gone through, what I've seen, the even the weight of Stay Here, the ministry that we lead, all the stories of people in pain, it hurts me. Mm-hmm. Every time I tell people this stuff, it feels so big before I confess it. It feels so small after I confess it. And even the person listening, they're like, really? That's it? That's all you got? It seems so much bigger, didn't it? Yeah. And it wasn't. Because God is so much bigger. He's so much greater than the pain that's inside of you. But it feels so big when it's inside. You got to let it out, and you could see how small it truly is. God is so much greater, and he's so able to heal every bit of pain and trauma that we experience. So that's what I would say. That's what's worked for me and my family. It's what's worked for so many within Stay Here. So we're big advocates for that.
You
get
don't
in community and confess what's really going on.
That's right. You don't have to do this life alone. I'm reminded of Psalm 23, verse 4. I love David's cry out to God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even in the midst of challenging moments in our lives, we're never alone, because not only is God that fourth man in our fire, but I also believe that he equips us with friends for the fire, as he has no greater purpose than using people as conduits through which he channels his messages of hope, encouragement, and motivation to a broken and hurting world. Jacob, I wanted, as we kind of wrap up our conversation today, to give us just some more insight into the incredible things that you and your brother Jonah are doing through stayhere.live. It's amazing the resources that you're offering. I'm seeing online suicide prevention training, offering people a free month of therapy, the Hope Line live chat for people to talk in moments of crisis, branded apparel to broadcast the message. I mean, I love what you're doing, bro. Can you just give our listeners a better understanding of where they can go to find these resources? But also, what do you guys have planned for the road ahead?
Yeah. Oh, man, we're so excited about this year. Yeah, you can find, you know, everything that we do on our website, stayhere.live, L-I-V-E, or our Instagram, stayhere.org. We reach 6 million people a month on social media. It's incredible. It's just been a constant growth of it's a great evangelism tool with our Instagram reels and everything we're doing. It's just been really powerful. We've even seen lives saved just from the reels. Like, it's incredible how much people are ready to get help.
Yes.
But man, for this year, we're so excited. Actually, next month, I don't know when this podcast is going to play, but in March, we are launching our Stay Here Student Ambassador Program.
Let's go.
We're launching applications for it. So if you're in high school or college, this is for you. We want our training and our resources in every campus in America.
Come on.
We have a goal to reach 10,000 campuses with our Stay Here messaging. So what we do is, what we're about to launch is for the Student Ambassador Program, we've got curriculum for students to be able to teach and lead at least one time a month, one gathering a month in their local school. We're going to equip you to lead an ACT training, a suicide prevention training yourself, or with a youth pastor or with a faculty member, or you can always have us come out and help you with that. And then we've got fundraising opportunities. So we're going to do like Stay Here themed basketball games or football games. So it'll be like a mental health dedication game during the regular season.
Wow.
And we're going to ship out Stay Here, collaborate. We're going to like collaborate with the local schools and make some Stay Here X Lincoln High School warm up shirts and all sorts of stuff like that. And we're just going to put branding and resources all over these campuses. And the goal for each student is to get as many students on that campus to pledge to staying here. And when students do that, we're going to have QR codes and posters all over campuses. When students do that, we're going to send them weekly resources so they can continue to stay. So it'll be readables or just reminding them of our partnership with the Hope Line and BetterHelp to get free therapy or 24/7 live chat. So we're going after campuses this year. Our goal by 2025 is to have 1,000 student ambassadors. So we know that we're going to grow this thing quick. We have a lot of students waiting for opportunities like this. So man, we're excited, Zach. And then, man, besides that, we just love partnering with athletes. We love partnering with influencers on social media. In September last year for World Suicide Prevention Day, we did a video with 57 NFL quarterbacks, and it reached 200 million people on World Suicide Prevention Day. It was incredible. So we're always open for more collaborations like that. We love just collaborating with anybody and everybody who wants to amplify this message of hope. So we're looking forward to doing more things like that this year. We're going to work with a couple NBA players this year, and we're just open to whatever else God has in store. But that's been really helpful to reach people. Like I feel like we've really honed in on social media outreach, and it's really reached a lot of lost and hurting souls. So we're excited about that. And then of course we got a bunch of new merch coming out this year.
Come on.
And we're really excited about that as well. So a lot of great things going on this year for Stay Here.
Jacob, again, my friend, I love your heart, man. I love the mission. I love the vision. And I'm so grateful that God is at the heart of all that you do.
Thank you.
Thank you just for all that you're doing, for being on the front lines of this mission to just reach as many hurting and broken people as possible. I would encourage all of our listeners to go and check out, again, stayhere.live, an incredible, incredible mission. Check out all the invaluable resources and use them and share them, because I'm telling you, this message is one of hope, and it's one that needs to go out there for such a time as this. Jacob Coyne, my friend, thank you for your time. Again, thank you for your willingness to join us today. We love you. We appreciate you. I look forward to hopefully some collaborations and partnership with us here at AACC and Stay Here. Moving forward, I cannot wait to see what God is going to continue to do in and throughout your life, my friend.
Same to you, Zach.
You guys, as we close, again, you know, these conversations around mental health and suicide are so important. Why? Because not only do we find ourselves in a mental health disaster, but suicide has actually become a leading cause of death in the United States of America. So it's time, you guys, for us to say that we can't overlook this anymore. These things, these conversations matter now more than ever. So today, as we close, I just want to hopefully breathe some life back into the person out there struggling or maybe even contemplating their worth and value today. I don't know who you are, but I want you to know that the pain and the hurt that you've been through, it doesn't have to define you anymore. You are made for so much more. My friend, your pain can actually become your greatest purpose if you let it. God's not done with you yet. You're unique, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, you're strong. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And my prayer is that you would press in closer to a relationship with Him now more than ever. Why? Because you matter. I just want to remind you of one of my favorite passages in Scripture. It's found in Isaiah 43, the first two verses. They read, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Friends, you're not alone. God's not done with you yet. Even when it's hard, sometimes you just have to know and believe that God still calls you worth it. My friend, if you're going through a very challenging, difficult, adverse situation right now in life, if you feel lonely, if you feel stuck, if you feel like you need help, hope, and healing, please, please, please hear this from a licensed professional counselor here. Please, please reach out for help. There are people in this world that are trained, that are educated, that are equipped, that want to come alongside of you, that want to infuse hope and healing, and want to infuse and point you back to the one that is the ultimate source of your power and your peace and your strength, which is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Please don't go through this life alone. You don't have to. Get a battle buddy, get a friend, get a counselor, reach out to a pastor, whatever it is. Just don't do this life alone. There are people who want to help. So please, please, please hear this one more time. Make sure that you don't go through life alone. You're never alone, my friend. There are people who want to help, and there are people who are always willing. So as always, my friends, thank you so much just for joining us today. We always love being a part of your life, and we hope to see you right back here next time on the Built Different Podcast.